And so how many of y'all ready for the word of God today? Amen. Look, I took 2 Sundays off from preaching, and let me tell y'all, Pastor Brian and Pastor Eric brought some incredible messages from God. Come on. Man, they brought some phenomenal words. Pastor Brian talking about don't throw in the towel, and Pastor Eric preaching on pour out your best. Just incredible words from God. And so I want to encourage us to stand to our feet because we're going to start a brand new series for the next few weeks. And this is a series, honestly, this is kind of like what I like to call one of our value message series, because it is a series that's going to really speak to what we care about as a church and what we really kind of, what our church is really has been birthed with, and the vision really of our church. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to go through this series that we're calling Here As In Heaven. Here As In Heaven. To help us to see how God's desire is for his kingdom rule and reign to be seen on earth. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to hear what God's word has to say pertaining to some of the issues that are plaguing our communities, our country, our world, from injustices to racism to political upheaval to all this division that we see. And we want to, I believe that the answer is not here on earth. I believe the answer is in heaven. But Jesus prays, it teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And this is really going to kind of be a scripture that really will anchor our series. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, right on the heels of him saying, I want you to pray like this, Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he says this in verse 10, Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. Everybody say on earth. As it is in heaven. Why is that so important? Because many people are concerned to leave earth to go to heaven, but Jesus is concerned with bringing heaven to earth. And as his people, he does that through us. So let us be a people that say, on earth as it is in heaven, here as in heaven. And so we're going to kick off this series going to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And we got it for you on the screen, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. And if you are there, say, I got it. We got it for you on the screen as well. Here's what it says. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in faith or in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want to go back to verse 26. For you are all, everybody say all, children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And everybody say all, who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is neither or no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are, say together, all one in Christ Jesus. And so I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we kick off this brand new series, Here As In Heaven. I want to preach from this theme and thought, the God of the gap. The God of the gap. Would you look at the person beside you and ask them, you got some gaps in your life. Got some gaps in your life. Come on, type in the chat, you got some gaps in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you for who you are, for all you've done. I pray, God, that you would speak to us and minister to us in a way that would free us from the things of this world and allow us to be able to have an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated, the God of the gap. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to hit the share button so that way others can be a part of this experience. If you're here and here, if you're here in person, text somebody, tell them to watch online. The God of the gap. Now, family, can I be honest? Can I be transparent with y'all? Can I do that? Is this a safe space for us to be honest? I believe the church should be the safest place to have the hardest conversations. There's a few words that I dread hearing in my life. Few of them are this. We are all out of Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce. There's nothing worse than getting to that window and them telling you, they're all out of barbecue sauce. And we'll give you some Polynesian sauce. No, this is not barbecue. This is different. But even those words aren't the words that I really don't like to hear the most. words that I don't like to hear, but it's just not on the crazy threat level in my life. Even it's important. You ready for this one? Some of y'all can identify with this. If you can identify, I want you to say amen. The ice cream machine is not operating today. Who am I talking about? Who am I talking about? How is your ice cream machine broke at 9 a.m. in the morning? How? It don't matter what time of the day I come. It ain't never working. I'm going to tell you so bad. I've gone there at noon. I've gone there at 5. And I've gone there at 9. And every time I went there, they said the ice cream machine wasn't working. Y'all have a systemic problem here in McDonald's. But not even those words compare to this one that I'm about to say. More than those, these are the words I despise to hear the most. You, sir, Mr. Jones, have a cavity. Can I get a good amen? Anybody ever had a cavity in your life? Anybody ever been to the dentist? And those words sent chills up your spine and you got all hot all of a sudden and you start breaking out in the hives because you're like, what does this mean? And then they go and look some more and find out there's not just one cavity, but now there's multiple cavities. I remember one time, y'all, I'm going to tell you how bad I am. I remember one time I went to the dentist and they said, Mr. Jones, we found a few cavities. I was like, well, you know, I had some Oreos early in the day. So maybe that little dark spot that you're seeing is really like some residue from the Oreos. Anybody ever said anything like that? Y'all not gonna feel my teeth today. But what's interesting about a cavity is it's a gap, it's a hole in your tooth. And if it's not filled properly or not filled at all, it can lead to more damage. And when I think about that, you may not have a cavity or a gap in your tooth, but I wanna ask you this question. Do you have a gap in your soul? Do you have a gap in your life? Do you have a gap in your relationship? And when I think about that, it brings us here to Galatians chapter 3. Because here in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to believers in this city called Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. And much of this letter is the Apostle Paul refuting some of the confusion that the believers were experiencing at the hands of false teachers who were influencing the believers to believe a false gospel. And what they were trying to encourage people to believe was that if you do certain things, God will accept you. That if you're circumcised, God will accept you. If you jump through this religious hoop, God will accept you. In other words, they were teaching that good deeds and efforts would cause them to be accepted by God, which was contrary to the true gospel. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we're not saved by works or what we do. We are saved by grace through faith in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's almost like God is saying, you don't need to add nothing to this. This is enough. Just believe. Some of us are like, man, Pastor, that's not fair. Let me help you understand something, family. You don't want fair. You want favor. It's a gift from God to be accepted by God on the basis not of our merits, but on the basis of the merits of Jesus. And all we got to do is believe in what Jesus has done. And so so mistakenly, though, the believers, because they have now kind of begin to kind of take heed a little bit to these false teachers, Paul says things like this in the book of Galatians. He says, who has tricked you, Galatians? Who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you? Who has told you fake news? This ain't the gospel that we preached. And so the believers find themselves, can I say it like this, having gaps in their faith because of what they were hearing, which consequently was causing them to live contrary to God's will and God's word, because you do know that right believing leads to right living, but wrong believing leads to wrong living. Because what you believe shapes how you behave. And so because the believers were beginning to drift a little bit, it began to reflect now in their lifestyle, which is why Paul begins to write things like the fruit of the Spirit versus the acts of the flesh. We just came out of a whole spirit series on the fruit of the Spirit called Save This. If you're new here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it on our website. But because of the gaps and holes in their faith, it is leading to gaps throughout their lives, or it is leading to distance and division in their lives. There were spiritual gaps that they had, but there was also everyday gaps that they had. And I think when we really understand what's going on here in the believers' lives, in the churches in Galatia, and the believers in Galatia, I think that we can identify with that. Because I think when we look around in our world, there is so much polarization right now. There's so many gaps of all kinds. How do we know? Because culture often encourages us and is thriving off of people taking sides on everything. Spotify, Apple Music. Android or Apple? Some of y'all are like, the truth is Android. That's the gospel. So, Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme. I'm gonna tell you what the true gospel is. It's Krispy Kreme. It's the Hot Life family. I'm just hold on, let me turn the corner. Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. Blue lives matter. Pick a side. Y'all ain't expect me to go there that quick, huh? Polarizing. Republican or Democrat or independent. Or as we're seeing right now, you pro-choice or you pro-life. And so there is this culture right now that we live in where there's all these different gaps and there's all this different distance and there's all this different division. But there's also gaps and division in our own lives, if we can be honest. There's relational gaps right now. Some of you all who are here, you came in this place, husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you're in this place right now, but there's a lot of space in between y'all. Maybe not necessarily physically, but maybe emotionally. Maybe there's financial gaps in your life. Some of y'all can testify, Pastor, the way this gas is right now, I got a lot of financial gaps in my life because my check does not measure up to these bills. There's a massive chasm right here. For some of us, it's health gaps. Because of the pain that you feel in your body, the things that you're dealing with right now. There's even gaps in our churches right now. There's division even in the body of Christ. But most of all, for some of us, there's a gap now in your relationship with God because some of you feel so far away because of your sin and because of the decisions that you have made. I just want to ask, is there anybody here today online and in person who's ever felt like you've had a lot of gaps in your life that need to be filled? Am I alone in here? Am I in good company? Can y'all be honest and say, Pastor, I know what those gaps feel like. I feel like I've been in a place where there's a whole lot of gaps and here's what happens. Because there's gaps in our lives, we oftentimes try to fill them with things of all kinds. So we try to fill the gaps in our lives with more money, with a new relationship, with alcohol, with an addiction, with more followers on social media, with a new job. But then we realize that as we try to fill all these different gaps in our lives, it has left us feeling more empty and drained than we were in the beginning. Because any dentist will tell you that when you have a cavity, you can't just fill it with any type of substance. And this is why they will also tell you that if you don't get the cavity filled, it will lead to more corrosion. And the question that I want to ask us in here today is, where is there corrosion and gaps in your life that you and I have maybe tried to fill but have recognized that it don't work? Because some of us maybe are carrying around some emotional wounds and some emotional trauma. And because of that, you've tried to maybe fill those voids with the things of culture and the things of this world. And you've quickly realized that it did not satisfy. It did not fulfill. But I got good news for all of us in here that Jesus came to fill the gaps that exist in our lives, that exist in our communities, that exist in our relationships, that exist in our worlds. What am I trying to say? That if you got gaps in your home, Jesus can fill it. If you got gaps in your life, Jesus can fill it. If you got gaps in your identity, Jesus can fill it. I love how in scripture, Jesus oftentimes refers to himself as the bread of life. Because what it speaks to is that he is able to fill and satisfy our soul in ways that we can't experience any other way. And I just want to know, is there anybody here in person or in line who can say that I tried to fill my life with all these different things, but it never worked, but then Jesus stepped in my life, and he began to fill some areas in my life, and he began to bring fulfillment and joy and satisfaction? Is there anybody here today that can say, I tried to do it on my own, I tried to live life on my own, but when Jesus stepped in, when Jesus entered into my life, when Jesus entered into my heart, he began to change things, he began to shift things, he began to heal things, he began to open up doors. He began to make sense out of things. He began to provide. He began to fill gaps where there was distance. Anybody here that can testify and say Jesus is the ultimate gap filler? Filled me with some purpose. He filled me with joy. He filled me with hope. He filled me with contentment. He filled me with his comfort. So now the question is, what does Jesus filling gaps have to do with on earth as it is in heaven? Well, I think to understand this, we need to fast forward to the book of Revelation to get a picture of what heaven will be like. Because when you go to the book of Revelation, specifically chapter 7, verse 9, there's some words there that John writes. He says this, after this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people and language which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. I want you to see the language here. People from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language standing before the Lamb. And the next following verse of verse 10 talks about how they are now in a place of worship. They are in proximity to Jesus, which shows us a picture of what heaven is like. That in heaven, there are no gaps. That in heaven, there is no division. And the will of heaven is that earth would now become, specifically through his people, an appetizer of what heaven will be like. That in a world where there's division all over and gaps all over, when we begin to pray on earth, let your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, I believe that God wants us to begin to experience on a small level what heaven will be like for all of eternity. And so here in Galatians chapter 3, though, we see how Jesus came to do away with a few gaps that I think are plaguing our communities, our culture, our lives, our relationships, our world more than ever before. While there's so many gaps that I can speak to, I think they all can almost kind of be summarized into two major gaps. Here's gap number one that I believe that Jesus came to fill. You ready for it? Jesus fills the eternal gap. What do I mean by that? Notice how in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, how Paul says this, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And what this helps us to see is that we have been joined together with Christ through faith in what he did on the cross and through his resurrection, which means we are now a part of the family of God, which also means that prior to what Jesus did and us trusting in him, we were outside of the family of God. In other words, there was space or distance between us and God. This is profound, family, because it means that prior to us coming to know Christ, we are spiritually orphaned. We are on our own. The Bible says it like this in Ephesians chapter 2, that we were dead in our sin. Meaning this, that because of our sin condition and prior to coming to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but it also says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It says, on your own, you and I are dead. But in Christ Jesus, you are made alive. And you are now brought into the family of God. In other words, there was distance between God and humanity. But Jesus came to fill the gap. Let me say it like this. Jesus came to bridge the gap. Thank you for the golf clap. I appreciate that. Jesus, because y'all ain't getting it right. Jesus, you know how he does it? Through the cross. And he bridges the gap between us and God. And I love how the cross is both vertical and horizontal. I'll get into the horizontal in a moment. But it's vertical. And I think that's almost a symbol in how Jesus connects us to God. If you think about a bridge connects two things, two bodies, or two bodies of land that were maybe in between is some type of space or distance, water of some type, and distance of some type. But the bridge connects them. And I want you to understand, Jesus is the bridge, which is why he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. In other words, can I say it like this? Buddha does not fill this gap. Horoscopes don't fill this gap. The stars in a constellation do not fill this gap. Burning sage and all that does not fill this gap. Only Jesus fills this gap. Because this eternal gap that exists between us and God requires an eternal God to fill this eternal size gap. So here's what Colossians chapter 1 says. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. Watch what the Bible says in verse 21. Who were once far away from God. We were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled. That word reconciled means to be brought close. You've been reconciled. He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I love this verse because what it means is it doesn't matter what you have done. When you are in Christ, you stand before God without a single fault. Well, Pastor Edwin, doesn't God know about my sins? Doesn't God know about the person that I slept with? Doesn't God know about the blunt that I smoked? Doesn't God know about the lie that I told? Doesn't God know? He knows about all of that, but he also says, I have washed it in the blood of my son Jesus. So now when you stand before me, when you are in Christ, I don't see your sin. I see my son. I don't see your shame. I see my son. I don't see your stronghold. I see my son. He is the advocate. He is advocating for you on your behalf. He stands in the gap. It is the equivalent of somebody taking a bullet for you. Jesus says, I'll stand in the gap and do it. I'll pay the penalty. And he pays the penalty by the cross. But he overcomes the death of the cross by the empty tomb. So he closes this eternal gap, which means this. I want you to write this down. On our own, we're far from God, but through Jesus, we're brought close to God. On our own, we're far from God, but through Jesus, we're brought close to God. And some of you are here today and you feel far from God. You feel distant from God because of things that you've done. But I want you to know and to be encouraged that God the Father sent Jesus the Son to bridge that gap, to come reconcile you, to bring you back home. If you've ever been to our church and you've seen the sign above the double doors, when you come in, you'll notice that the sign says, welcome home. That's very intentional. Because we want every person who comes through here and every person who watches online to know it does not matter what you have done. It does not matter your past. It does not matter your history. I don't care what you've done that you haven't even told anybody anything, told to anybody that you've done that's dark and heinous. God knows about it and he still loves you. Your sin has not changed God's affection for you. And in Christ Jesus, you and I can be made new. In Christ Jesus, you and I, who were once far, can now be brought close. Why? Because Jesus fills the eternal gap. But he not only came to fill the eternal gap. And the reason why that's so important to understand is because the eternal gap is what leads to every other gap. Because as you go spiritually is how you go in life. When you are right spiritually, everything else gets better. But God did not send Jesus just to fill the eternal gap. He also sent Jesus to fill the earthly gaps. Which brings us here to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. I want you to see what Paul says. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice how in this following verse, Paul says that now that you've been joined with Christ, you have also been joined together with other people in Christ, which means that no matter their color, ethnicity, that's Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile speaks of this ethnic and this racial tension. Jews hated Gentiles, Gentiles hated Jews. I'm so glad we don't deal with racism today. But isn't it interesting that the believers dealt with the same thing back then that we're dealing with now? But Paul says Jesus came to do something about that. He says, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. These three categories speak of ethnic or racial division. It speaks of gender division, but then it also speaks of social or economic division. Paul says all these things that you used to divide over in Christ Jesus, none of that stuff matters anymore. You are all one. So Jews, y'all were sitting at one table. Gentiles, y'all were sitting at one table. Through the cross of Christ, you all sit at one table. Males, you were sitting at one table. Females, you were sitting at one table. But through Christ, you're sitting at this table. Rich people, you will sit over here. Poor people, you will sit over here. Middle class, whatever, you will sit over here. But in Christ Jesus, there ain't different tables. There's one table. Because Jesus bridges these earthly gaps. And in Christ and through Christ, what the world uses to divide people, Jesus has brought together and has made a new family in the form of his church. Which means this: racism does not have a place in the kingdom of God. Sexism does not have a place in the kingdom of God. Classism does not have a place in the kingdom of God, which is why we say as a church that the church is meant to be for all people. Because in Christ Jesus, he has made the way available for all people to come. And thanks be unto God that he does not put a premium on what color can come and what creed can come and what class can come. But he says, my blood is big enough and great enough to cover everybody. Come on home. It's for everybody. So the world, through its labels, I want you to write this down, divides people. But Jesus, through his blood, unites people. The world divides people. Are you pro-life? You pro-choice? Which one are you? Huh? If you don't say the one that I like, I hate you forever. Do you like this? Do you not? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you Black Lives Matter? Are you Blue Lives Matter? Are you All Lives Matter? If you're not saying the same thing I'm saying, then we can't be friends. I can't love you. I'm so glad that Jesus' love was not predicated based upon choices that we made. Do we not realize that Jesus redeemed and called and loved all types of people? Do you know the only people that had issue with Jesus loving all types of people? It was arrogant, prideful, legalistic type of people in the scriptures. So like if a whole bunch of legalistic people from the old times in the scriptures, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, like if they were getting like a Buzz Lightyear type of time travel and come to our church service right now, like right now as I'm looking at, they would be blown. They would, hold on, wait a minute. You got white people in here. You got Black people in here. You got Asian people in here. You got Latino people in here. That's Everybody needs to be split up. But Jesus says, I've torn down the dividing wall of hostility through my blood. I have made it so that way every person from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language could come to be a part of my family. So Jesus unites people across racial lines, across social lines, across relational lines, across gender lines, and across political lines. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's the eternal God. But then he says this, for he is our peace who made both groups one, talking about Jew and Gentile, and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. family, if there's one thing I need us to get in here, I want us to understand that Jesus is for everybody. He breaks down these dividing walls that divide people. So let's be real. We are filled with many different perspectives in this room and online. Some of you lean one way. Some of you lean another way. Some of you have this perspective. Some of you have that perspective. And while there's maybe not necessarily anything wrong with having perspectives, let me help you understand something. You cannot become a prisoner to your perspective. You need to be a prisoner to God's purpose. Because when we submit our preferences and our perspective to the purpose and the plan of God, that is when we are able to experience this closing of these earthly gaps. One of the things that we don't know how to do in today's time is disagree without disrespecting people. You need proof? Just go in the comment section. If you want to get really angry in like 5 seconds, just go to a comment section of a random Facebook post, Instagram post. Just go read comments on Twitter. Oh my gosh. Just go read it. And just see how polarizing it is. And see how easy it is to get swept up in the division. See how easy it is to get all riled up. Your heart rate going up. You start sweating. Veins start popping out your eyes and your arm. I can't believe they said this and they're a Christian. But Jesus says, I came to tear down these earthly gaps that exist. Because through Jesus, God unites all people groups to be one family. And I want us to understand something. True unity doesn't happen apart from Jesus. It happens through Jesus. How do I know this to be true? Because your job, many of our jobs, we work with people of all different types of perspectives, all different types of colors, all different types of creeds. But it don't necessarily mean you're united to them. People come to the job from all different walks of life and people still hate each other. So just because, I need you to understand this, just because there's quote unquote diversity in the room does not mean unity is there. And what the world calls diversity is really cheap in nature. It ain't biblical. And God says, I don't just want diversity, I want unity and diversity. So I want people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language to be able to come together under the banner and the blood of Jesus. And it only happens through Jesus. Husband and wife, do you want to know how you can be on one accord in a greater way? Do it through Jesus. Parents, do you want to know how you and your children can get along in a better way in your home? Children, you want to know how you and your parents can get along in a better way in your home? Do it through Jesus. Follow Jesus. We got to do it the Jesus way. Because I think for so long, we've been doing it culture's way, and we've been getting culture's results. But I think it's time for us to begin to do it the kingdom way. Because his way is proven to work. And we see that in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. Fast forward to how all of eternity be. And all of eternity says, there will be people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. Which means that there are no barriers and division in heaven. Which means God wants to bring people from all walks of life. I don't know if you've ever studied the Bible in detail, but have you ever noticed how Jesus' first disciples were all different in makeup? He had people like a tax collector following him. They were despised by people back in that day. He had people who were like zealots, which means like they were the equivalent of somebody who would go to a state capitol on a January 6th in a certain year. He had people who had a very crazy past. He had people like a Peter who would just snap on you and just cut you at the drop of a dime. Say something if you want to. Right? Like he had all these different types of people following him. And they were all a part of his family. They weren't perfect, but they were family. They were jacked up and messed up, but they were family. And the thing that tied and tethered them all together was his blood. I want us to understand something, family. Jesus came to bridge earthly and eternal gaps. So while culture is saying take a side, Jesus didn't come to take sides. Jesus came to take over on earth as it is in heaven. He bridges divides. So while the world is saying people can't come together from this place and from this place, it's almost like Jesus with the little usher meme is like, watch this, watch this. Some of y'all didn't get that, it's okay. Just go on YouTube and type in usher, watch this, and you'll, yeah. But Jesus brings people together of all backgrounds. And the thing that I love about even our church, but walking with Jesus for some years, is I've seen him do it. Like through the years, I've seen Jesus bring people together in marriages and in families and in churches who would have never imagined it, but it shows that his blood is enough. How he could bring people together who have nothing in common, but make them family. Only Jesus can do that. Culture can't do that. Society can't do that. Money can't do that. A job can't do that. Only Jesus can do that. He brings people together. I love like this. I wish like sometimes like y'all can get up here for a quick moment and like see yourselves. But it's so awesome because like when I look out here and then when I look online and when I interact with different people who like come to our church, it's so incredible to see the many generations that are represented in our church and the many different ethnicities that are represented in our church and the many different cultures that are represented in our church. Family, I want you to understand something. That is kingdom. If you want to know what the kingdom looks like, that's a picture and a small glimpse of what the kingdom looks like, where you got older people coming together, you got younger people coming together, you got married people coming together, you got single people coming together, you got white people coming together, and black people coming together, and indigenous people coming together, and African people to coming together. Why? Because they're all connected to the blood of Jesus. Jesus bridges these gaps. So the question now is if Jesus bridges this eternal gap and he bridges these earthly gaps, what is now our response? What do we do with that? Because I don't believe it's just enough for just us to talk about everything that Jesus has done and just shout over it. But he says, no, I want you to do something with it. So how do we respond to what Jesus has done? I'm going to give us two thoughts. His first response, be reconciled to God. What do I mean by that? Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, and see, the new has come. Let me pause parenthetically once again in case you missed it earlier. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your history is. When you come to Christ Jesus, you are now a new person. But Pastor, I don't feel that way. Choices lead, feelings follow. So just because you don't feel it right now, don't make it not true. When you come to Christ, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he is transforming you. There's a biblical word that we use, sanctifying you, making you more like Jesus day in and day out. And the more you follow Jesus and the more you talk with Jesus and the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you begin to look like Jesus. So when people see you, they say, man, there's something different about you. You different. You don't cuss like you used to cuss. You used to cuss all the time. Now you cuss a little bit. He's sanctifying you. You used to tell lies all the time. Now you're honest. He's sanctifying you. You used to sleep with everybody. But now you're walking in purity. He's making you more like him. He's sanctifying you. I want you to understand, family, because I think one of the biggest lies of the enemy that convinces us that God doesn't love us is because of all the things that we've done and that we never can start over and that we never can have a new beginning. But Jesus shows us through the empty cross and the empty grave that in him there are plenty of new beginnings, that it doesn't matter what you did, it doesn't matter what your history was, it doesn't matter what your past is. In Christ, all things can be made new. But then it also says this. Everything is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's what Paul is saying. Come to God. That's like the invitation I'm giving to some of you today. You've never come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. You've tried this. You've tried to fill your life with this. You tried to fill your life with that. It left you empty. You tried it. It didn't work. Try Jesus. Don't try me. Try Jesus. I couldn't resist. Try Jesus. Because when you taste and see of his goodness, you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Try Jesus, and you won't have to try anything else. So be reconciled to God. Because the responsible God has done for us, he invites us to be a part of his family through faith in Christ. And for some of us, that's where you are right now. You're far from God, but he says, come to me. Come to me. He says, because you come to me, I'll fill your life. I'll satisfy your life. You won't have to be thirsty anymore. You won't have to go trying to get in this relationship and experience fulfillment here. No. Come to me. But not only are we to be reconciled to God, we're to be a reconciler for God. How do we respond to what God has done for us through Jesus? We come to God, and now we're a reconciler for God. What do I mean by reconciler for God? It means that we now live our lives in such of a way where we build bridges for other people to know Christ and to connect with others who are like Christ. We are bridge builders. In the words of the great philosopher T'Challa, Black Panther, in times of chaos, the foolish build walls, the wise build bridges. I was going to do the accent, but I was going to butcher that. But the biblical principle there is we live our lives in such of a way where we love people so that they can come to know Christ, so that they can be a part of the family of God, which means we serve all people. We love all people. That's why I love Serve Day, because Serve Day is a perfect example of how God has equipped us and called us to go serve people of all kinds. I remember not too long ago, leading into Easter, we had a team of people that went out and put door hangers out in the community, right here in this local Riverdale community, not too far from our church. And I remember at the tail end of our time out there, there was a lady who was outside. And she came outside and asked, hey, you know, who you guys with? What church you with? Da, da, da. So we began to tell her that we're part of the Bridge Church and we're just inviting the whole community out to Easter service, things of that nature, and we're dropping off door hangers. And so she began, long story short, to begin to share how grateful she was that we were out there. And she began to share how she was facing a terminal illness and how the struggle of hope pretty much given up on God. But the mere fact that we were there in her neighborhood at her house that day was evidence that God had not gave up on her. Had lost hope, was struggling. What was crazy, y'all, she came to our church the next day. All because people said, we're going to go build bridges. Because if he can do this for me, he can do this for others as well. So here's what Matthew 5:9 says. I want to close with this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Do you know what your mission is as a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ here? It is to build a bridge so that others can come to know Christ. Do you know? Can I let you in on a little secret? Are you ready for this? Do you know why you work the job that you're at? And why you're still there even after you prayed so much for God to remove you? Can I tell you a secret? Because God has you on an assignment. I'm going to just let that sit right there. You thought you were just there to collect the check? No, Jesus sent you there to collect souls. Like, he sent you there. And I know it's probably not the job of your dreams. I know it might not be paying everything that you want. I know it's probably a toxic environment. And I know we live in a culture and time that says, if something's toxic, get up out of it. By all means, I'm not advocating for staying in a toxic relationship. But there is something very peculiar about the ministry of Jesus. That while everybody was running from toxicity, he was running to it. While everybody was running from the fire, he was running to it. And I wonder, and I believe, based upon what we see in the scripture, that God says, while culture is running away from these things that bring people together, I want my people to run to it. I want you to be a unifier. which means on your job, while everybody else is having these crazy conversations that are dividing people, you are the one there to bridge the gap. With a smile on your face. While everybody else is arguing about pro-choice and pro-life and everything that's going on and racism and bigotry, no, you're actually there to be light in a dark place. This is unpopular preaching because this goes against the grain. But Jesus says, when you do this, you are called a peacemaker. And blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons or children of God. In other words, act like your daddy. Because your daddy was the one who brings everybody together. Your daddy eternally is the one who wants everybody to be a part of his family. And so he says, I want my kids to have the same DNA as me. So just like I care for all people, I want my people to care for all people. Let us be the type of people who build bridges, who bridge gaps. Let it be when you walk in a room, something different happens. People are gossiping, but all of a sudden the gossip stops. Don't talk like that when I'm around. Because you different. Because you got the call of God on your life. Because you walk in a certain type of authority where you say, no. We're not standing for division any longer in this family. No. No, you talking about them behind their back? Come on. All y'all come to the table. We're going to hash this thing out. Because people of God don't build walls. They build bridges. Because that's what Jesus did. On earth as it is in heaven. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today, online and in person, who says, I'm so sick and tired of seeing all the division that's happening right now in our country and in our community and in our family. I'm so exhausted from seeing people arguing over this position and arguing over that position, arguing over politics and politicians who can't save them at all. I'm so sick and tired of people dealing with this and debating that and debate. I'm exhausted from that. And I believe heaven has a better answer. Be a reconciler. And God's desire is that our life on earth will be a glimpse of what life in heaven is. That wherever there are gaps in our lives, Jesus has come to fill them. So the question I'm going to ask you today is, are you a bridge builder? Through Jesus, can you be a gap filler? Can you begin to change culture and community? That's why we named our church the Bridge Church. Because we wanted to point to the reality of what Jesus has come to do. Earlier, remember I mentioned how there was a vertical beam here on this cross. But you also notice how there's a horizontal beam. Vertical is symbolic of God connecting us to himself through Christ. Horizontal is symbolic of how Christ connects us to one another. And Jesus says, if we would just live like this, there wouldn't be so much racism. There wouldn't be so much division. There wouldn't be so much divorce. There wouldn't be so much hostility. There wouldn't be so much families falling apart. If people would just, we need more cross-eyed people. Who say that I want to live my life in such of a way, I want to pour my life out in such of a way that people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language could come to know Christ and can come together. I'm going to devote my whole life to this. I'm going to be honest, as your pastor, this is what I've devoted my, I'm going to die on this hill. Like I'm dying on the hill of saying, I want to bring people to Christ and bring people to one another. Dying on this thing. I want to live life in such, which means I don't want all my friends being black. Come on. I don't want all my friends to be a certain type of way. No. I want to bring people together because what did Jesus do? He had all types of people around him. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just come from the Jews. He came from the Gentiles, which means everybody else that was not a Jew. He came for everybody. And in this world where there's so much division, this world is clamoring and thirsty for fresh water. And it comes from heaven. And Jesus says, I've come to bridge gaps. He is the God of the gap. And he says, I want my people to live in such of a way that they fill gaps. It doesn't mean that you're going to agree with every single thing that a person says. you don't got to agree with them to love them. You do realize that, right? Like, I can disagree with you and still love you. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I disagree with a lot of things my kids do, but I still love them. Come on. So just because you don't always see eye to eye doesn't mean you can't walk hand in hand. Jesus says, I want to give a better way. We're going to talk about this over these next few weeks in this series. And I think it's so fitting following this series on the fruit of the Spirit, where we talk about Christian character and godly character, that now when we live this out, it brings forth a taste of heaven on earth. This one person said it like this. I'll say this in closing. Believing in Jesus brings people to heaven, but living and loving like Jesus brings heaven to people. Believing in Jesus, that's good. Brings people to heaven, brings you and I to heaven. But when we begin to live and love like Jesus, it brings heaven to people. They get to see Christ through our lives. And some of you are here today and you're watching online and you got a lot of gaps in your life. I want you to know that Jesus came to fill it. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know that Jesus came to fill it. I don't care how young you are. When I was 8 years old, I gave my life to Christ. So I don't want you to think that coming to Christ means like you got to wait till you're 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 to do that. But I believe that God is calling all people, all ages, all ethnicities to himself through Christ. And I believe that he wants to create a brand new family made up of people of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language, which means this: Jesus can fill whatever gap that you got right now in your life. So what I want to do right now in this moment, before we worship God through communion, is I want to invite us, just with heads bowed and eyes closed right now, if you could be honest and say, I'm in a place right now, family, pastor, where I'm so far from God, I'm so jacked up, I'm so messed up. I got hatred in my heart towards people. I don't like people that don't look like me. I don't like people that don't vote like me. I got a lot of hatred in my heart. I'm so far from God right now. I'm so lost because of things that I've done. But today, I want Jesus to fill the gaps in my life. If that's your desire, and you're saying, today, I want a new beginning. I want to start over. I want to start fresh. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your color is, what your age is, what your background is. I want you to know Jesus is for you. And today, you can come to him. I want to lead us in a prayer of confession and a prayer of faith. And if this is you today, you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want a new beginning. Would you include me in that prayer? I want to start over. Would you include me in that prayer? I want to come to Christ. Would you include me in that prayer? Would you just lift up your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. That's you. You want to come to Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus today. Just shoot up your hand. Nobody's looking. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're online, would you say these words? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your grace. I receive your love. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, church. Can we put our hands together for Jesus doing a new thing in the lives of people today? Amen. Well, in this moment, I can't think of a better time to be able to reflect on what Jesus has done for us than by remembering this incredible sacred sacrament known as the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And it's this time where we reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus. And if you didn't get one of these cups, just go ahead and shoot up your hand and our team will get you one. If you're online, go ahead and get something that signifies the wine and the bread. It could be whatever you have at home, whatever's accessible to you. But the reason why this moment is so significant, y'all, is because it represents how at the table where Jesus had all these different disciples from these different backgrounds and perspectives, and he was bringing them together. And as he brought them together, he began to establish this new paradigm that was pointing to what he had came to do for them. And the Bible says that he took this bread, which we have as a wafer right here. And the Bible says he took this bread. He says, this represents my body, which has been given for you, broken for you, bruised for you. Emphasis for you. Why did he do this? His body was broken so ours could be healed. He suffered for us so that in Christ we can reign with him. He went through what he went through so we could be a part of his family. So he says to his disciples, take this bread and eat in remembrance of me. You can take your wafer and eat it now. But the Bible also says that he took the cup. He says, this cup represents my blood, which has been shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Which means this, family, doesn't matter what your sin is, doesn't matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus covers all of that, past, present, and future. Any person who's in Christ is now a new creature. So he says, drink now in remembrance of me. Amen. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment. And just in this moment, can I lead us just in this time of prayer and just brief worship as we reflect on the goodness of our God and his faithfulness? We're going to close service. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. But I don't want us to miss the significance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and how he has bridged this eternal gap and has bridged this earthly gap. So our worship team is going to lead us one more time. It's in a brief exhortation that we would remember the sacrifice of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to fill the gap. You are the God of the gap. You have filled our eternal gaps, and you also can fill the earthly gaps. So we thank you, God, for drawing us to yourself, even though we were once far from you. And we thank you that through Christ, you have made a new family and you have made a new people. We give you glory for it and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, and every person has said amen. Come on, let's worship together.